So Zechariah, I've always felt an affinity with him, perhaps, but also felt a wee bit sorry for him in his situation. Perhaps because, maybe as a minister, you can appreciate that here he is. He's going through another season. He's going through the motions, as it were. He's an old priest, faithful and devout. I should say, when it talks about being old in Scripture, that's somebody older than 60. So that could be me. And although I don't feel an old priest in that sense, so that's not why I identify with him especially. But here he is, faithful and devout, resigned, I should say, to all of this great priestly history, and his wife, of course, Elizabeth, and the line of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. They were just the devoted, faithful people of God. And the years had rolled on, perhaps just resigned to the fact that, well, no children for us, but we'll just be faithful and true to God. And one wonders if they'd given up the notion of God doing anything spectacular in his own time. Had God somehow forgotten them, and has he passed them by? I mean, we know later on that, as I've said, Simeon would have that real assurance that he would see the Messiah before he died. But it looks like from Zechariah, here he is, this faithful old priest with Elizabeth, blameless in the law of God, seeking God's power and presence. And you wonder, could anything spectacular happen? Has God passed him by? I mean, we know that in biblical terms, children were seen as a blessing, a huge disappointment for these two not to have children. And perhaps as the years rolled on, not a lot seemed to excite them. He was resigned to his situation, as we've said. God would perhaps bless other people. We can celebrate the past. We can look forward to the future. But for us now, But there again, here we are. He's this priestly line, and he's been chosen by lot to go into the Holy of Holies. And this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, you would get the opportunity once, and perhaps never at all, because it was done by lot. You know, that would suit those who like raffles and gambling and all the rest of it. It's in the Bible, lots, you know, you draw the lot. But no, here he is. He's got the chance to go into the Holy of Holies on his own. Everybody else would be outside, and there he would be bringing the incense and making sure there's plenty of incense. And so it's the prayer of salvation. It's a prayer for atonement. And he would come out with it, declaring the atonement declared. So here he was in the Holy of Holies, in that special place. There was morning and evening sacrificial prayers for atonement of sin, and he would be in there making sure that there was plenty of incense there, symbolizing the prayers. Wonderful opportunity, great joy, great experience in itself, you would have thought. God hasn't passed me by. He's called me to do something fantastic. But quite clearly, in a moment of real blessing and a real sense of God's presence, that's when you pray. Isn't it really hard? And I'd like to think, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but I like to think that church, our fellowship, our gathering together, is the closest we have to the holiest of holies. When you think about that, because we're promised that where two or three gather together, God is in our midst, the Holy Spirit's in our midst. And quite often we can, as I said, you can go through the motions, you can go through the routine, and here we are, another season, another moment. But as we gather together, there's something special about it. There's something precious. And that moment, that prayer, when we were led so beautifully in prayer this morning too, when you're in that place, in a prayer meeting perhaps with others, or just somehow, even on your own, there's a sense in the holiest of holies, you can reach out and touch God. One of the greatest joys of worship together is Jesus' church. It's that sense of being in a special place for us. And you'll often hear us saying and hoping, as we read and as we pray together, longing for God's power and presence and God to speak to us. And that's exactly where Zechariah was here. But his prayer was not recorded, a great prayer about the atonement, about salvation. You notice that? And there's nothing mentioned about what his prayer is. But clearly here, the angel, Gabriel, I've heard your prayer. I've heard your prayer. Of course, I should say that as he is in the Holy of Holies and angel Gabriel appears to him, first of all, he's startled. Nobody should be in there at all. And then he's gripped by fear, a real sense of a heavenly presence. And you notice he's standing, this Gabriel, angel, is on the right side of the altar of incense. All these details are important, because that's the place where God would be, the right-hand side. So he's no doubt about it, that this is the presence of God. And the angel, of course, saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Clearly, by what Gabriel says, it's not a prayer about there will be a Savior, there will be any time now, you'll be in the driving seat, as it were, of much of what's happening. The first thing they say is, your prayer's been answered. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. Was his prayer verbalized in that special moment, that once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to pray for that opportunity? After all, you know about Abraham and Sarah and how old they were, and yet they had a baby. Hannah, childless. It's a sign of God's power and working in our humanity when these births would occur, when otherwise it would naturally be. Would he be praying for that, do you think? One last plea, oh, please let it be. Or was it just an unconscious prayer? But whatever, whether it was verbalized or unconscious, that longing of his heart, Gabriel answers, you will bear a son. And you will give him the name John. Of course, we heard this morning, John. Different name, but God is gracious in the meaning of John. He'll be a joy and delight to you. And many will rejoice because of his birth. Beautiful thought, isn't it? You're going to have a son. Elizabeth's going to be a mum. This is incredible. But, and then he goes on to say what the son would be like and what he would do. And wonderful things for God. But Zechariah just couldn't get his head around it. How can I be sure of this? I just don't understand. I'm an old man, over 60. And my wife is well on in years. Who knows what age she would be. But the meaning is clear. He just couldn't see beyond his own limitations. He couldn't see beyond his own lack of physical ability, I suppose. Is it aging? Is life's passed him by? No, it must be for somebody else. It's not for me. It can't be. And of course, because of his disbelief, the angel says, look, you'll not be able to say a word now. And that's it. Until, of course, the 9 months were up, which my words will come true at their proper time. It's the timing of it that perhaps is so important here. Zechariah was struck dumb. I've often wondered, why was he struck dumb? Well, it's obviously to prove what was happening was true. But here's a priest who'd want to tell everybody what he'd seen inside and what would happen and what happened. But he couldn't utter a word until the right time. You know, you can see why it resonates perhaps so much with me. It speaks so much of the moments when we're in the routine, we're in ones that we go through from season to season, and here we are, we're into Advent and coming up for Christmas, and we know what we have to do and what plans have to be made. We know that the church will have certain services, and we've seen a few, haven't we? Would this be any different from any other Christmas? We've seen a few. And I think it speaks right to my heart, and I hope all of our hearts, to say, well, God hasn't done with us yet. Is it because I'm standing back a wee bit now as a minister and wondering, just looking at things, not driven by the diary and the momentum of the Christian year? What's God saying to us this Christmas? I wonder. Zechariah just couldn't believe it. Could he believe that God could do anything amongst us? Can we believe that God could do something when we are in these moments of the holiest of holies, as it were, when we're in these moments of great celebration of carol services and carol concerts? And of course, Andrew, I'm thinking of you with all the message you're taking, all the preparation, all that's been done, and your prayer in your heart, I'm sure, is that somehow this time, something in the melody, something in the message will get through to people. Because as we've sung 2,000 years of wrong, there's a clamor. People don't somehow can't understand it. That's in the world generally. But even for us, as Christians, and we've seen so many Christmases, surely God's got something to say to us in our circumstances. Maybe different from previous years. Our loved ones no longer with us, or perhaps are doing something different in our celebrations. Concern for the future. Things are not ever going to be the same. What's God doing in the midst of all of that? So Zechariah teaches us, keep our antenna, keep our sense of expectation. God can speak to us, even though we're so familiar with all of the routine, and even though we think that we cannot do something new, God can. Do you know, the carols are very nostalgic, aren't they? And they evoke wonderful memories for us. They do, you know, I think of the Salvation Army brass band playing in midnight services down in Largs when we were just youngsters. And it was so powerful. And in St. George's Tron, when we were students, and the place would be absolutely filled in Christmas Eve, and we're singing carols, been out in the streets and trying to drag people in. You know, that's when the pubs closed at 11 o'clock. Do you remember that? And great watch night services, and the smell of alcohol in the church was incredible. He used to have stewards in the door, or should I say bouncers in the door. But all sorts of memories come into our minds. And that's why, of course, that Sally Magnuson's got her book about music, communicating with folks who can't remember much. It's amazing how powerful the carols can be. And that's why I think we should never tire of singing them, because somehow, even as people hear these things, even in tin can music in the big shopping malls, even there, if people hear a word or a carol, perhaps God can speak to them even there. But yes, there are wonderful moments we can remember of Christmases past. Incredible blessing. But as time rolls by, they could be so familiar. We've seen it all before, and we can expect God to do nothing for us. Other people, yeah. Do you know what it's like? And people will say to me, oh, Christmas is for children. It's great to see the kids. And you think, well, is it only for children? Well, it's for other people. I've had my day. As long as the kids are okay, that's fine. Just, you know, I've got many socks, you know, don't bother giving me presents and all that sort of thing. But it's more than that, isn't it? People who don't perhaps grasp what God is doing and what he's promised, and that waiting in Advent is to see, wow, God does all of this, and he can do it in our lives. If we don't grasp the vision of what God's almighty redemptive plan is, can miss the mark totally and assume it's for other people. Oh, church isn't for me. I'm a black sheep or whatever people will say. But they'll come at Christmas. Do you know that? People will come at Christmas and they'll come at remembrance. They become very popular times, fantastic opportunities for us as Christians to witness to folks. As an adult, I wonder, too, if Christmas can lose its wonder, magic, and excitement as it was when we were younger. The excitement of the gifts for wide-eyed wonder in the child's eye is, yes, it's great. But Zechariah reminds us that God, Emmanuel, is with us. The most amazing truth to grasp Despite how much we have become resigned to our lot, God is still the same exciting, creative, intentional God who can revitalize our lives and turn them in a totally different direction. Most probably not the same as Zechariah, of course, but God is not apathetic, nor does God give up on his message. He will act, but will be his timing, not ours. If somehow we feel that the church's message is being strangled or stifled, or perhaps we feel we can't communicate, is it like we're dumb, like Zechariah? Well, a perspective of God's salvation plan helps us out. His timing is perfect. His word is forever true. And the carols and all that we do in this season is as much power as it ever had to speak to folks' hearts. So yes, we can greet him still with our own wide-eyed wonder when we look with the eyes of faith. For the one who is rich beyond all splendor brings to us a freshness and a beauty of his presence now.